Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Our Jesus, he's on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, our Jesus on the main line. Oh, our Jesus on the main. His line's never busy. It's never out of order. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Isn't it good to be in church tonight? We had a time here Wednesday night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Gets better all the time is all I can say about it. Certainly does. Do you appreciate it? Some of you did, and some of you don't know if you did or not. Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we've come to worship the Lord tonight in spirit and in truth. You're not come as a spectator. You're not here as an agitator, I hope. But we are a participator. How many of you are going to participate in this service tonight? What's the rest of you going to do? Watch us. Every hand ought to be raised tonight that you're going to participate in this service tonight. This is a privilege that God has given you one more time to be in the house of the Lord. A lot of folks would give anything in the world to be standing where you're standing right now. Somebody say praise the Lord. Our Jesus on the main line. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a minute or two while we look at our prayer requests. Brother Manuel Wade, I want you to come tonight, if you will. Get ready to pray over these prayer requests as we look at them tonight. Sister, the Lauris family wants us to remember their daughter, Naomi Lauris. Pray that her medication will be scripted out right. She's having trouble with the dosage that she's taking, so just pray that the Lord would work that out for her. We just pray that the Lord would touch her life. Brother Gary, tonight, we'll remember Brother Gary Hara had some surgery, and not being able to be in this service with us tonight, but we want to pray for Brother Gary. The Lord will touch him and let him receive his healing and recovery just really, really well. I want to pray for Sister Sue Sims tonight. She's having severe back problems and in quite a bit of pain, so let's remember her as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Ruth Jack's daughter, who was involved in a car accident and has a concussion. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we get ready to pray over these things. Brother Kevin Keith wants to thank everyone for your prayers and your cards and all your thoughts during the passing of his father. So we certainly want to continue to remember that family, and especially Brother Kevin, just a precious, precious family here in the church. Brother Sam Clark has a very special unspoken prayer request he'd like for you to remember tonight. Remember, this is from Brother Aaron Gilreth. He sends this in. My neighbor in Georgia, she had a massive stroke on Monday and was airlifted to the hospital. She's not doing well at all. Her name is Jenny. Her husband's name is James. Remember him as well. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. All the unspoken prayer requests in this building tonight, you have a need you'd like for this assembly to pray for. I appreciate our assembly, don't you? Yes. I appreciate our local body tonight, I really do. Amen. Amen. Could we stand tonight, Brother Manuel, if you'll come, take us to the Lord in prayer. While he's coming, let me make this announcement. We'll go right on into the service. A table has been set up in the fellowship hall with many items. Please go by and see if any of these belong to you. Some of these items have names on them, so remember that tonight if you will. Some more requests over here. I want to pray for Brother Bert, Sister Barbara, Gravely. Both still need our prayer, so let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. The Lord will be mindful of them. Brother Terry Horn says, please remember Sister Alice in prayer tonight. She pulled a muscle in her back and seems to be, recovery is real slow. Also, she feels a little sick tonight, so remember her as we pray tonight. Sister Alice Horn, that the Lord would just give her healing. This is from Phil and Cheryl Gould. Please remember Ben and Alex Gould. She has an infection around the stents in her kidneys. The current plan is a scheduled C-section on Friday. Her blood pressure is high and could change the plans. She will be in the hospital for the duration, and they both enjoy visitors. Please remember them in prayer. That's for Alex, Ben, and their child. So let's remember that request tonight as we pray. Certainly appreciate Brother Manuel Wade tonight, don't we? Just a real brother. We love you, buddy. We thank the Lord for you, Brother Wade. You're a jewel, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'm glad he thinks that. I know it only takes God to make what we are, and sometimes I feel like I'm a complete failure, but with God's help, I will do my best. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to thee tonight, there's no greater one that we can come to, that we know from the beginning of time that you have always made things perfect. We don't have to question anything in your word because it is forever settled. And we know, God, that everything that you do is perfect. We can look around us. It's where I live. I live back in the mountains, like sort of there in Blountville, and see the wonderful trees, see the all the things that God, you know, made. It's just so pretty, and he don't do anything that's wrong. So with these prayer requests tonight, also we ask you to touch every one of them. We know that I know you've healed me, and I know that you can heal every one of these, because there's nothing that you can't do. We want to commit this service completely into your hands. We believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him with all your heart. Running my last mile home. Let's sing that song tonight. We're running our last mile home. We're not going in as a ragtag band. We're going in victorious in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Well, you know what? It's time we start acting like it. It's time to start acting like we are overcomers. How many of you overcomers tonight? This side over here, they ain't three overcomers on the whole side. How many overcomers we got over here? What about right here? What about here? What about over here? Every one of us, by God's grace, we're overcomers tonight. Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. When I come, let's go.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this day alone. Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious.
Yes, sir.
I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home.
Heart tonight. We're running our last mile home. It's good to be a believer tonight. You know what? If we let ourselves, we'd just get so complacent and let somebody else do our job, let somebody else praise our God, let somebody else sing our song, let somebody else clap their hands, and we just sit back and watch. We're not going to do that here. We're not going to do that here. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. Brother Branham said this, everywhere that Jesus was, there was some noise. There was some noise. Now, I'm not advocating hanging from the rafters or swinging from these chandeliers, but I'm going to tell you something. There ought to be a praise in our hearts. There ought to be a song on our lips. There ought to be a clap in our hands. There ought to be a hallelujah from our voice. He's done too much for us. Somebody say praise the Lord. These guys on the platform, and I've been told them, this platform is going to be electric. It's going to praise God. We're going to play. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. Now you can join in, and we want you to. We encourage you. But whatever you do, that's up to you. But we ever one owe him ever a bit of our praise. You owe him more than you'll ever be able to pay him back. He's done too much for us. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now you think I'm fussing at you, but I'm not. I'm just challenging you to let's go with this thing. Let's run with what we believe with all of our heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. You might ought to sing that verse one more time. Somebody needs it, buddy. You need it.
I've met with many crossroads on my journey.
Oh, yes, we have.
But never once has my God led me wrong.
Amen. Amen.
There's many deserts and valleys that lie behind me. The road ahead is straight and I'm running.
Oh, yes, we are.
My last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running.
Be unto the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. Brother David, you got a song for us tonight. If you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing a little chorus just before he sings for us tonight. The song, little chorus we learned and sung here Wednesday night. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Let's see if we can sing that. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harry.
Brother Eric, could you pull up Blessed Assurance? This song was written by Fanny Crosby. And but the music to it was written by a friend of hers whose husband happened to be a life insurance salesman. And she had this tune that the Lord gave her, but she didn't have words for it. And she played it over and over and over. And Fanny Crosby, being her friend, she said, Fanny, could you write some words to this song? And she'll the inspiration struck her and she wrote Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And we know how many times Brother Branham told the story about the man wanting to sell him life insurance. And he said, I have Blessed Assurance. He thought he had life insurance, but this is what he had. The song said, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Is it your story? Help me sing it. Blessed assurance, O Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God. I'm born of His Spirit, and I'm washed in His blood. Oh, this is my story. This is my song.
All is you, Lord Jesus. How many can say amen to that tonight? There's a difference in a person really being inspired to write a song and a person just writing a song. Some people just write songs. But George Smith calls them homemade. Just homemade. You imagine how old that song is and the inspiration that was given to it, and yet it still inspires and blesses people's hearts. Amen. Well, how many's happy to be in the church tonight? How many brought your shotgun? Good. Well, if you didn't, I've got an extra one for you. I smell a fox here tonight. You do know you can smell them. You didn't know you could smell them. You can. They got a smell to them. There's 37 different species of fox. 37. But the species of your shortcomings are way more than that. But I think we'll have a pretty good idea, don't you? Let's turn again to the Song of Solomon, if you would. Chapter 2, verse 14. So appreciate the Word of God.
Amen.
Appreciate God loving us so much to tell us the truth. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. You see, it's not the church that sees him like this. It's not the foolish virgins, not the 144,000. This is the bride that's viewing him in a secret place. She's the only one. Notice where she sees him. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. The ascension of the supernatural. So she finds him in the ascending. But notice what she links to the ascending. The things that's going to try to come between them and try to erode their relationship. Now he's already ascended up, but he's coming to get her so she can ascend as well. So the ascension has been building, and God has been building a body through seven church ages. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, or capture them. Let's get them. The little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity given to us that we could assemble tonight, Lord, on this Saturday night. A night known to the world as a night of drinking and carousing and running around and partying and people getting drunk and getting high and committing adultery and doing all kinds of things on Saturday night. But we're doing what we love best. Going to church, singing, worshiping, praising, hearing your word, becoming your word. Lord Jesus, there's not another pleasure. There's not another thing that the real saints of God love any better than the house of God, the word of God, the fellowship of God, the peace of God. I just want to say thank you for once again giving us a Saturday night service. I know, Lord, we've had Saturday night services here now for over 30 years since I started coming years ago and pastoring between Kentucky and here. This is the reason we started Saturday night, so I could preach here on Saturday night and Sunday morning, drive 4.5 hours, preach Sunday night and Monday night in Kentucky. And Lord, I'm grateful that you've allowed us all these years to be able to have church Saturday night. I'm grateful we still got some folks that want to come to church on Saturday night. I appreciate it, Lord. May you bless our gathering together. What little feeble effort that we can put forth. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father. May we be a better people when we leave here. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I love Saturday Night Church. Don't you? I realize people, you know, they pass by and see our cars and think, y'all have church on Saturday night? When do you do your grocery shopping? Other days. When do you do this? Other days. Hey, we like church. It don't work for everybody, but you know what? So far it works for us, and I'm going to keep it this way as long as the Lord lets us, as long as you want to be able to come. Now, let us, by the help of the Lord, be able to resume a little bit of this, and I'd like to speak to you tonight, as you might have guessed, on little foxes. We know that it's them little foxes that, as the bride said, spoil the vine. Little foxes never stay little, of course, unless they're the Kinnock fox from Africa, which is, you know, about this tall. I've got one mounted about that size. Most of you probably never even seen one, or a little bat-eared fox. A couple of species around the world that are very, very tiny and small. But even at that, they will mature not only in size, but in cunning and in understanding. And here the bride is able to recognize some of the things that will come against her and her beloved. She does not call them by name. She doesn't identify what they are. And I wrote some of these down and read them to you last week. And I like to read them again. And I put them up on the screen here, the brothers will, so you can be able to read them with me. They are sins like pride and jealousy, self-seeking, criticism or being critical, wanting my rights, gossip, judging others, harshness, impatience, ingratitude, self-pity, hypocrisy, mistrust, superiority, inferiority, worry, and a thousand more. But hopefully I'll not make this series to where we'll cover all 1,000. But if the Lord leads us to, we will. Now, how do these little foxes actually spoil the vine? Well, you know, they not only get to the vine itself to eat from the tender part that's shooting out, they eat around the base of the vine, which comes up out of the ground. They also dig down with their tiny little paws, and they will dig down beneath the surface of the earth, and they will dig down into the heart where the roots are, and they will tear that up. But they will also, their favorite parts is the little grapes as they come out. Now, looking at this in type, you know, it says the Holy Ghost, as He begins to produce the fruit of our union with the Lord Jesus and the fruits of the Spirit of God in our lives, then these little foxes will try their very best to be able to destroy the fruitfulness in our life as a child of God. And there's many, many foxes, and no doubt there's no way a preacher could cover them all, because they vary according to our own makeup and according to our weaknesses. But I'd like to deal with the ones that the Lord lays upon my heart. Wouldn't that be the ones you'd want me to deal with? I could study, no doubt, and look in different ones and the way different preachers have preached it. But I like to pray myself and go in the direction that I feel the anointing and the pulsation of the Holy Ghost. Because to me, that's what's needful for our congregation. Whether it's those that are actually visibly here or those who would visit us by streaming. And I pray that you'll pray with me, and we'll just go along as the Spirit of God will anoint our hearts. Now, I hope tonight that what you brought was an open heart, and you didn't bring your shovel and your pitchfork and your corn scoop where you can shovel it over to this brother and over to that sister, but your heart will be open that you'll be able to receive from the Lord tonight. Let us look tonight at a little bitty old tiny fox. He's a little bitty guy. He's so cute. Now, you know, man has broken many, many years ago to the ability of hybriding. Now, there's not that many original species of fox, but what man did, man got into the breeding of fox when furs were of very great value. Now, because of the left and the animal huggers and the tree huggers and a lot of that, you know, they've so still stood against the fur trade, that the fur trade isn't what it was years ago. But when it was quite, an explorative type of thing, and explorative on the animals themselves, man got into breeding a lot of really colorful, beautiful foxes. Now, the marble fox is one of the most sought after, very, very beautiful. I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but they're black and they're white, have a little touch of gray. Some of the rarity in the genetics of the gene will come out with a little bit of pink that'll run through the hair, and they're absolutely breathtaking. Well, you know pretty much what they'd use it for. They would use it for fur. But yet there's also the cross fox, and he's quite a beautiful sample himself, and then the silver platinum fox, and there's on and on and on and on what man has been able to do by genetics. But yet for the most part, those are not the ones that we'd like to look at, because those are raised in a pen. They are raised and where they're trained, where they are fed, never had a wild day in their life, so they really wouldn't know what to do in a vineyard, because they are hand-fed, hand-raised, and then somebody kills them, and they use them, of course, for their fur. But the most of the ones that's really going to get to you and I are going to be the ones that are going to be wilds in nature, because that's the way we are born, wild in nature. And actually, your nature is closer to a fox than probably what you'd want to acknowledge. Because we are animal. Not your soul now, but your body is animal. Wasn't just before you got saved. It still is. So you take the Holy Ghost off of a human being, and that human being will do things an animal never thought of doing. An animal will kill, but an animal does not commit premeditated murder. An animal will kill for sustenance, or it will kill because another animal is threatening its own kind. An animal does not have the ability to think and do as a human being. That's why a human is lower than an animal without the Spirit of God on them. And the church said, that's right. Now, what's this? So these little foxes that you and I would deal with, they're all sizes, they're all shapes, they're all colors. But the one thing we want to focus on is that they all start out very small. Now, let us look tonight at this first little guy. Oh, he's a cute little fella. My, he seems very, very harmless. He doesn't seem like he caused anybody any problems until you look at the end results of this little guy. He's called the fox of slothfulness. Wow. The fox of slothfulness. Now let's look at him, shall we? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now, this guy that Solomon writes about, and he speaks a lot about this particular class of people, and a lot of what the Bible would actually speak about when it would come to the sluggard or the slothful is more of the natural man than it would be the spiritual man, but many times you find they run hand in hand. So you're Solomon here in other places in Song of Solomon, also Ecclesiastes, he will refer to a man that's basically sluggard, that he doesn't work or he doesn't do much naturally. But we don't want to look at it just so much in the natural sense, but we want to focus in parallel to this, that it also runs in the spiritual sense as well. Being spiritually lazy, spiritually sluggard, or a spiritual sloth. How many has ever seen the animal sloth? Well, let me give you an example of how they move. He's 150 years old before he's ever a father. And he finally reaches up and gets a branch with a leaf on it. He starved to death the time he gets it to his mouth. That's the sloth. Now this is where the word, of course, comes from. Slothful. Amen. What do you say we have church now? What do you say? We all got cleaned up, took a shower, I hope you did anyway, got all dressed up and everything. Since we're already here, I figure we ought to go ahead and have church. Now, I want you to notice this, the way that Solomon sets this slothful man. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Now, you know this slothful man, he goes out. Now, he's either hunting a rabbit or a bird or a deer or whatever more that they would have hunted in that day. And he goes out and he hunts. He gets up early and he gets up and prepares himself. Takes him, of course, a long time to get there because he's a sloth. But he finally gets there and you know, whatever it was, chance or whatever it was, he got this animal and he finally made it back to the house. But by the time he gets back to the house, he is so wore out and he is so exhausted from all the energy that he put forth into this hunting trip that when he gets back to the house, he decides he's not going to eat it after all because he is so wore out. He is absolutely tuckered out. So the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Now look at the perspective here that Solomon brings into view and watch how he parallels the diligent man with the slothful man. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took us in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now he will contrast the diligent man with the slothful man in several other different instances, but here he compares a man who actually went out, put forth the effort to become a Christian, a hunter, and he actually hunted and he sought something and he got something that was apparently edible, something of some value, and once he got it, he never actually went through the final process to eat that and become one with what he hunted out. So he goes through the process of being a Christian, he got saved, so on and so on and so on, but he never really goes on to take the flesh of that which he had hunted and eat that and become one with that which he's taken into his heart. Now he contrasts that then with the diligent and he says, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now isn't it amazing how that he looks at what the slothful man has taken, which is now his. He will now be responsible for it because it's his. He has taken a life, and if he did not use that life for a purpose that was provided for, he'll be responsible to God. Remember how Brother Branham blasted people killing animals just to kill them and lay them there? God will judge them for murder. People that drive up and down the road and shoot animals and try to do all that thing, it's a sin. I said it's a sin. Now if you've got a need for it, a use for it, that's one thing. Kill it to kill it, you're murdering your heart. So this man took this substance, it was now his. He was now responsible for taking its life. What's he going to do now with the substance? He decides it's so much trouble to prepare it. He'll have to skin it out. He'll have to clean it. He'll have to do all this stuff. My goodness, it's going to be nap time. The times he gets it all sodden and roasted and everything, he's wore plumb out. So he just decides he's not going to do it. So then Solomon contrasts this type of a guy with a diligent man, and he uses what the diligent man owns. Notice how he said this. I love this. He said the substance or the possessions of a diligent man is precious. Now listen to this. You can all tell a lot about a human being, but how they value what God has given them. Now you may never live in a house in the riches. You may never own a great big business that makes all kinds of money. But you know what your aspect on it should be? That if God allows you to live in a single wide trailer, and God never gives you more than a 1953 Volkswagen Beetle, and you've got a pretty good job that pays a minimum wage, you ought to be so grateful for God for every pair of shoes you've got. You ought to be grateful for every pair of socks you've got, even if they do have holes in them. You ought to be grateful for every shirt, every pair of breeches, every dress, every pumpkin, every watermelon, every slice of bacon, because to the diligent man, his substance has value. To the slothful man, it makes no difference what he owns, what he has. It's like he does not matter. It has means nothing to him. You understand? You're going to answer to God for what you have in life. You're going to answer to God not only for what you have, but how you've treated what God gave you. And people spend their life, oh, I wish I could be like so-and-so. Why would God entrust you with a $1 million house when you don't even take care of a 12 or 60 single wide trailer? Well, amen, Brother Donnie. Now, whenever slothfulness will begin to grab a hold of an individual's heart, 9 times out of 10, it'll never remain in the natural realm, but it'll move over into the spiritual realm as well. Well, notice this in Romans, or Proverbs rather, 15:19. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Now watch him contrast. Now you know what's amazing is that you might be both of these people and these verses in the same body. Your old flesh may be nothing but a sloth. But if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'll speed you up. Now that's going to be a miracle from a sloth. By the time you get your hand up to praise God, we've changed songs 3 times. And we're not even one of them kind of songs. But God gets a hold of you from the inside and gears up that sloth, and before you know it, you're raising your hands at the right time, you've got them down at the right time, you're clapping them at the right time, and you want to see an overcomer. You are overcoming. The sped up one is overcoming the slowed down one. That's a greater miracle than if God would have turned you into a rabbit. Because if you sped up like a rabbit, it's in a rabbit's nature to run here and go there. But God leaves you in that old sloth's body till the change takes place. Oh my. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. Because he is slothful, he imagines thousands of things of why he shouldn't do whatever it is he's supposed to do. Now, it's not necessarily real, but it's real to him or her. And it becomes as a hedge. What a peculiar way to liken a human being. Now, notice Solomon says the way of a slothful man is as a hedge. Now, you know, as a man would look at a hedge, most of you have probably seen hedgerows, and how they will start out, and they may start out, of course, we're all going to start out very, very small. As a matter of fact, they can be plucked up by the roots, by hand, without a whole lot of strenuous effort. But if they are left alone and left to themselves, they will make a hedgerow that you'll cut yourself all to pieces trying to get rid of them. You see, that's the way sins are and temptations are. Whenever them little foxes will come in at a slothful man or a woman that's not praying, reading their Bible, doing what they ought to do, and a little hedge will sprout up its head, and then another, and then another. Oh, they look small. They look very insignificant. It doesn't look like it's going to bother anybody. It's just sneaking over and looking on your smartphone at something you shouldn't look at. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Donnie. And the next thing you know, you're addicted. Why? Because a hedgerow growed up in your life and it started out with something that big sticking its head out of the ground. But the slothful man says, it's awful hot out there. My goodness, it's 85 in the shade. I think I'll wait till fall. I believe I'll wait till things cool down a little bit, and then I'll get out there with a mattock. I might even hire somebody to come over with a backhoe and dig that thing up. I'll tell you one thing, of course, when fall gets there, he decides he's going to rest all through the fall because it's just so hot still. It's just a really bad fall, and it's dry. Who knows? He might get out there and catch on fire or something. Oh, something bad may happen. A slothful person can imagine some of the most bizarre circumstances. There's one good thing that they are good at, and that's imagination. Well, praise the Lord. You understand why this imagination comes from? Their slothfulness. Their slothfulness produces this type of bizarre imagination. I do have an advantage on you. I have other scriptures in front of me, and you're waiting to see where I'm going. Now, watch this. In the mind of the slothful man, he looks and says, this is so hard. There's no way I can do this. And it's, you know, it's just so hard. My, there's one and there's another. Oh, my, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, I don't believe in doing anything now on Thanksgiving. It's holidays. I always take all the holidays off and spend it with my uncle and my Aunt Susie Bell and everybody. So I ain't going to do nothing. And then before you know it, you know what? The winter snows of December is born. Then it's Christmas. I said, well, I never do anything on Christmas Day. You know what? And now, oh, it's January. Oh, it's too cold to do it now. It's January in East Tennessee in the mountains in February. Soon as March rolls around, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to go up to that altar and I'm going to grab a hold of them horns and I'm going to tell Brother Donnie, lay hands on me and cast this devil out of me. It's March. March comes. They spend the whole month every weekend at Dollywood. How many of y'all ever had devils cast out at Dollywood? I want to ask you to raise your hands to this. How many of you ever picked up a few at Dollywood? Woo! Preach, Jesus! You see, every difficulty is in the path of the slothful individual. Solomon says the way of the slothful man is such a hedge of thorns. So every difficulty in the path of this type of a person, it just secures and absolutely encourages them for inactivity. So because the difficulty is there, just don't do it. Because after all, you might fail. Oh my. That'd be awful, wouldn't it, Brother Gene? Oh, that'd be awful. That'd be so embarrassing. I'd rather fall flat on my face 10,385 times than to sit in a pew and never make a move. I may stand before God with a lot of mistakes, but I'll never stand before Him and He'll say, you were slothful. Nope, ain't saying that to me. Notice how Solomon contrasts these ways now. The way of the slothful man. So it's not only the contrast of ways, but the contrast of characters. I'll never forget years and years ago, it was actually before I came to the message, and I was preaching down in Louisiana, preaching actually for Brother Lance's grandfather, him, Sister Crystal, and Sister Cynthia's father, Brother Oliver. And he took a text. I told Brother Oliver, my throat was really sore on Sunday morning. I said, won't you preach this morning, and I'll rest a little bit, and I'll pick it back up on Sunday night. He was one of them old-fashioned Pentecostal preachers that hewed the line. Oh my, he took his text and he preached about the ant. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. I'll tell you what time he got done, I went up the altar and nearly got saved. Oh my, I've never forgot that. I can't remember all the particulars and the wherefores and the whys, but I felt for everybody in there. I felt so sorry for him, including the devil. Come time he got done with it, I'll tell you, it made you want to grab a hold of the altar and say, God, stir me up. Stir me up, Lord. I believe we need some of that, friends, in this hour, because the Laodicean age we live in, it's easy to become complacent and dilatory and cold and slothful. You have to beg people to sing a special song. You've got to beg them to come to our prayer meeting. You've got to beg them to pray for somebody that comes up to the altar. What is it? Slothfulness. You see, the way of the sluggard is one of self-prevention. The devil actually don't have to do a whole lot. They stop themselves. Because it's his inner complacency that's so much on the inside of them. So let's say it like this. They're going down, you know, a slothful man, a slothful woman, going down a rapid stream. They hit rapids. They're not so bad. They don't frighten them too much. It's not white knuckle stuff yet. But they know from what they can see in front of them, danger lays ahead. But instead of trying to go ashore, say, you know what, I'm out too far. I better get back in. I'm going to wind up in a mess here. So instead of doing that, the slothful man will just, or woman will sit in the boat, and they have the oar, they have the capability and the strength to stop it. But instead of stopping it, they just go. Well, then in a few minutes, they find themselves in a cataract that is deadly. Now they drag out the oar and try to save themselves. You can blame it on the devil all you want to. The devil had nothing to do with him. You defeated yourself. The power that was given to you back yonder to stop this thing, you never used it. Well, praise the Lord. But Terry, buddy, you got anything you can back up with in the morning? I'm going to have you to preach in the morning. They're getting quiet on me. I'm afraid I'm getting fired after this tonight. You see, he lessens his power by neglecting to use it. Think of it. The slothful man or woman actually weakens themselves by refusing to use the power that God has made available to them. Oh, my God, speak to our hearts, Lord. You see, he is his own destroyer. Or so, may I say, for her. So instead of grabbing a hold of the situation, God help me to use what you've given me. The slothful man or woman just keeps going. The thorn hedge gets bigger and bigger and higher and higher. And what was at one time controllable sins grow, and before long hedge this individual in, and they find themselves hedged in. And isn't it amazing how hedged, oh, it never grows a gateway. What does it do? It grows one beside the other, beside the other, beside the other. None of them had the genetics in there. I said, now these are gate hedges here. And whenever this one stops here, XYT035Y, it will stop right here, leave 3 foot, and then ZY304, it'll start on the other side and it'll start growing around. That's not the way they're designed. They're designed for one sin to accompany another, 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 until they have hedged the slothful man around, because he looks at what he's got. Oh my. And he doesn't look at it in the real value. What man in his right mind would want to give up a walk with God? What woman in her right mind would want to give up an opportunity to be a daughter of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, come to church, live for the Lord Jesus, and give it up for prostitution, give it up for drugs, give it up for alcohol? They're mentally disturbed. Our whole world, friends, is groping in insanity. Oh my, maybe 6 months, a year, two, three, four, before long they find themselves where? Totally enclosed in a hedgerow that's impassable, with no gate, no door, no way out. Unless you happen to know a man of God, he'll take a Holy Ghost chainsaw. Look out, devil. Hallelujah. He may not chop her down as fast as you want him to, but I'll tell you what a man of God's wanting to do. He's wanting to take that thing and river up in the name of the Lord Jesus and cut out a walkway. It may not be, but just that wide. And you may have to turn sideways and get out like that. You may be looking for a 4-lane highway. God don't always do it that way. Sometimes God will cut out a narrow path because you fought yourself to get in, and you may have to fight to get out of it. And a real person that's sick of that hedge will say, I'm going to fight every day of my life till I get out of this hedge. It ain't worth living in here and being a slothful woman. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the way of a slothful man. Then what does God do? Turns that man or woman into a diligent person. So they yield to one hedge and another and another and another. They become easily formed habits. Easily formed habits. You ever seen anybody out miracle growing weeds? Wonder who in the world it is that sprays miracle grow on the nettles. Who is it that puts miracle grow on the nettles and the briars and the thorns and the thistles? Who in the world does that? Nobody. They'll grow. You have to baby your flowers. You have to baby your landscaping. Come on now. You'll baby it, and you got to put down all kinds of mat around your landscape, and the grass will come up or through it anyway. If it don't come up through it, it'll burn itself and come right up beside a bush, and you say, where in the world did that thing come from? It's part of the curse. Don't you understand why it's easier for thorns to grow out of this than the seed of God?
Don't you understand why it's easier for evil works to go out of this? It's easier, Brother Larry, than it is for the good works of God. It is a battle for the good word of God to grow out of this dirt pile. Like it or not, your body is germatized to be a seedbed for weeds. Praise God. This is one reason we come to church. You got a pastor that's loaded down with weed be gone. Weed be gone. Oh my. But notice the way of the righteous man now. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. But the way of the righteous is made plain. And the word plain is paved. It's a divine ordained way. But it isn't just him sitting around and waiting on God. But this man actually is so part of this man's character and trait that God identifies it as the man's way and not his way. Whoa. Glory to God. Why the man is so in touch with God. God gave him that zeal in his heart. The way of God is imprinted on his soul in so much that God would call it the man's way. Because the man was so converted by the Spirit of God. He used to run around. He used to drink. He used to lie. But he don't do it no more. And God so birthed him by heavenly genetics that God put his own seed inside of that man or woman and breathes on them the Holy Ghost. And God said, I've got so much confidence in you. I know you're not going to fall. I've sealed you to eternity. You are mine forever. I am yours forever. I'm going to go ahead and call this your way. The continued repetition of this kind of a life becomes habits of good behavior. Well, I don't want to get in a ritual. I see. You don't want to get in a ritual doing right, but you want to get an habitual forming of doing wrong. Are you an imbecile? Or what side of the idiotic family side do you come from? If I'm going to have a form and a manner, I'm going to choose righteousness. Am I going to do part of it without feeling? I am, because it's bred in me. What about the difficulty in this man's way? Oh, he's got him. He just don't pay attention to it like the slothful man. The slothful said, oh, that's a gravel road. Huh. That'll hurt my feet. Huh. I'll get dust on my new shoes. But if I was to go up there to church, now I know I need more than what I got, but what if I go to acting like Brother Donnie? Oh God. What if I was to get so emotional that I get up one service and start running around the building that I'll think I'm crazy? Oh my goodness, what if I would? No, I think I'll just go on occasion and just kind of, you know, be a part of what's really going on, but not really get in too deep. I worry about Brother Donnie and some of those other people at Happy Valley. I believe they're fanatics. Well, let me just go ahead and settle it for you. We are. That's right. Football fans have fanatics. Wrestling people have fanatics. Basketball fans have fanatics. I'm a fanatic for Jesus Christ. I am addicted to Him and His Word. Amen. You see, the thoughtful person looks at him with such difficulties and say, it can't be done. The diligent man looks at it and says, where do we start? The thoughtful man says, what if I drop one of the big rocks on my toe? The diligent man looks at it and said, God put it on my heart to come and have a meeting. So he goes in down there and he starts clicking out a little stable of a thing. The bully of the town comes in and says, what's that guy doing there? He says, he's a preacher. holding a meeting. Said, he ain't holding no meeting. I run this town. So the bully goes in there and he's singing, you know, singing a song, washing windows and doing this and another, get ready. And he said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm going to have a meeting here at the church. He said, oh, no, you're not. I run this town. Oh, do you? Praise God. Okay, all right. You hear me? You ain't going to have no meeting here. You got to whip me first. Then. All right, first things first, go ahead and roll his hips up. Knocked him down, got on top of him, and I bear the cross alone. Jesus, give me strength. Just beat the tar out of him. He said, all right, the man got saved first night. Now, a slothful man would have packed up his briefcase, his Windex, and paper towels, and left Dodge. But you know what? The diligent man said, I ain't leaving here because God laid it on my heart to come. Oh, my goodness, friends, may I say tonight, may it not be just preachers that'll say that, but may housewives say it, may young men say it, may young ladies say it, oh, God has called me to be a Christian. I ain't packing up. I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here. I'm not going to be slothful.
But the slothful person can be a calculator. Square. I don't see there's any way that can work out, do you? It won't work out. That's what I was thinking too. It's too big. If everybody at Happy Valley was a saint, I'd go. I know some of them people that go up there, boy, they got problems. We don't deny that. But the main thing we push around here is a problem fixer. It's not how many problems we've got, it's how many our God can take care of. But a slothful man will look at, well, I'll tell you, it just looks bad. So what little bit of courage he has, he talks himself out of it. When it's all said and done, he just sits down, grabs his remote, or his game thing, and merges himself in a world that does not exist. And turns up the air conditioner, and drinks an RC and a moon pie. You see, one thing slothful person looks at as a hedge that is not passable. The diligent man looks at a hedge as being road level. Glory be to God. Saul looked at Goliath and said, good God. All the brothers, all the rest of them said, Lord, have mercy. David looked at him, the prophet said his head was the size of a wash tub. Imagine his eyeballs about that big around, just gleaming, dancing in the sun. David looking at him, his fingers twitching. I stood there about a month or so ago in that valley. I don't mind telling you, I felt like David. Well, we stood there and pulled off the side of the road and it kind of shot up like this. Brother Tim's putting a video and stuff for us together for you to be able to see it. The little hill come up like this. The Philistines on this side, Israel on this side, and a little dry brook down on the bottom. I went down through there and picked up a bunch of them little stones. I thought, my, what a privilege it is to stand right here where David stood so many, many years ago. Hallelujah. And he walked down and grabbed a hold to that. And you imagine looking at that and said, glory to God, with a target that big, how could you miss it? But it depends on if you're a diligent man or a slothful man. A slothful man said, oh God, I won't listen. He'll feed me to the carcass. And another said, man said, let me have it. You've signed your death warrant today, buddy. You cross across the people of God, you'll pay for it. This is your hour of death. Why, a diligent man knows this is my property. This is my inheritance. And there ain't no Philistine going to get it. Hallelujah. One day the Pharisees come to the Lord Jesus and they begin to speak to him about Herod. And Jesus said, you go tell that fox. Yeah.
whatever you're dealing with tonight, I want this to be your theme. Go tell that fox. Now this man, Herod Antipas, it wasn't Herod the Great, it was his son Herod Antipas. He was a great man of power. He's also an adulterer, also a liar, also a political ploy. And the Lord Jesus said, you go tell that fox. Today I do cures, tomorrow I do miracles, and in the third pull, and the third day I will be perfected. You've got high blood pressure? Tell that fox, leave me in the name of Jesus. You've got an addiction, you're tonight, you're bound by temper. Don't tell that fox, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Can I go on a bit? Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You imagine belonging to that family. One of your brother's names is slothful and the other's name is waster. And what was your name? Oh my. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness casts us into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So slothfulness actually can rock folks to sleep. Now don't just think naturally, but spiritually. Now brother, sister, we've got a mega dose on this last day of Laodicea, because the Laodicean flu is bad and it's really catching. You read the church age in the book of Revelation there, you'll find out they had a bad case of Laodicean flu. They was rich and increased with nothing, which means that's hallucinating, just coming and going in and out of their mind. Come on now. And they were naked, that's right, and didn't know it. And yet here they are, they're also dealing now with this great thing of a deep sleep. So the devil trying to go to sleep. Go to sleep, go to sleep, little bride. Brother Branham's gone, but he'll be back in the tent one day. Nobody has the Holy Ghost, so you can't live right. But one day the prophet will come, and you will take your flight. But for now, go to sleep, go to sleep. And this is what we need today. We need to raise up out of the cradle and smack him right in the face. And say, you aggravating Tylenol devil. You aggravating sleeping pill devil that's trying to rock me to sleep in Laodicea, I'm going to start squalling and kicking and clawing till I get out of this state that I'm in, because I'm getting ready for a rapture and I can't take it being slothful. So just reach up out of your bassinet and smack that old devil in the mouth. And then start kicking your little feet and taking your little hands and jabber. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Donnie, I wonder about you sometimes. I wonder, what do you take before you preach? I take pills. Oh yeah, I do. I take pills. Goss pills. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, Philippians, Galatians, Philemon. What kind do you take? Money? Wealth? Some of y'all done been canoeing 3 times while I've been preaching tonight. You can't wait till tomorrow. Get your mind off your stupid canoe. Get your mind off your picnic tomorrow. Where to feast? Why think about a picnic? Notice again, Proverbs 19:24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. And he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I said, my hand is real cold. So I'm going to put it in my vest. Because it's real cold. I'm starving to death. And there's food in the kitchen. I mean, at the church. But it'd just be so much trouble. I'd have to get in the shower and take a shower.
Go ahead, breathe.
Then I have to get dressed again. Yeah, it's a good idea because we will have you thrown in jail if you come here naked. Then I'd have to park the car. Have to walk up the steps to get into church. It's wearing y'all out, ain't it? I have to come in and no doubt somehow meet me at the door and have to shake somebody's hand. I'd have to take my hand out of my vest. I just think I'll stay home and stream. But by the time they get to the computer, I'm saying, amen, you're dismissed. Well, I'll catch them tomorrow. You might have to get up at 3 a.m. Look, you're laughing. Why? Because I'm putting it in such extremity. Look how this man put it in such contrast. It makes no sense. But when a person gets under such slothfulness, somebody that's on fire looks at him and thinks they're mentally distraught because the excuses they make. Thank you, Jesus. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. So he sits there, nobody ain't called me from the church. They ain't got no love. We called you 87 times, but you're so slow you never heard the phone ringing. Wonder who it was that called the prodigal son. Who was it that visited him? What deacon was it that got a hold of his name? Tell me. If people want to go to heaven, there ain't enough hell to drive them back. And if they don't want to go to heaven, there ain't enough heaven to pull them in. Woo, Jesus. Notice again, Proverbs. Boy, this is a bad fox, isn't it? Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man says, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Look at these excuses. They're absolutely insane. Absurdity has possessed this person. There is a lion without, which means the word without, referring to in the wilderness. Harriet's not even nowhere close to where he lives. But the lion is, oh my God, it's in the Serengeti in Africa. 19.5 hours by jet. But if I go out in the street, he may kill me. Somebody get a white vest, would you? Look at how absurd slothfulness destroys people, friends. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. Now, he ain't seen one. He probably never even heard one in his life. But in his mind, oh my God, was that a lion? No, it was your house cat, nitwit. Meow, meow, that was a lion. Huh. Scratch, scratch. Cockroach, no problem. But there's a lion without. I may be killed on the street if I go out. So the best thing for me to do is Stay home. This is the slothful person. Now, by this stage, the foxes have grown up, had young'uns, and they got dens all around this person's life. You see, were the slothfulness removed from this individual, all this imagination and lies and stuff that is so real to them, for the most part, this volume would lift from them. Because it's all associated with slothfulness. And excuses. And more excuses. Some of the excuses I have heard for people not coming to church here. I need to write a book sometime if I ever had time. It'd be a bestseller. Excuses, excuses, we hear them every day. What if I go to church and there's a hypocrite there? Oh my God! What if you're going to apply that philosophy? Don't you ever dare step your foot in Walmart. Or your favorite steakhouse or your favorite drive-thru place. It don't keep you from going to Walmart. It don't keep you from going to Wendy's or Hardee's or McDonald's, whatever your food is. You go in and get what you want and you leave. If you had that same attitude about the house of God, I don't care how many devils come here. You'd go in there, I ain't going to see them. I'm going to get fed. I'm going to get something from God. They ain't keeping me away. Amen. God's laid it on my heart. That's my church and I'm staying there till God tells me different. Can I have a little more time? Y'all are glutton for punishment. Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now notice, remember what our setting is for the Song of Solomon. It is a vineyard. So I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. Now you're thinking, one sense of the word, how would a man like that ever wind up with anything? But God is merciful. God will give grace. God will save all kinds of people. God will save people that you and I wouldn't give them a nickel. God will save people, and God knows exactly what they'll do. He knows that many of them will turn away from Him down the road 5 years, 10 years, and He'll bless them and love them. I'm going to shock you. The prophet of God said God loved Cain. That's right. He said He loved Cain and went after him. God has saved some people He knew in 6 months' time or a year's time wouldn't even speak to Him. But God is a merciful and a loving God. He'll reach down to people. He'll help people that only uses Him as a spare tire. And when they get back up on the road again, they throw God in the trunk and don't want to speak to Him again. But He is a merciful God. I'm so glad, aren't you? So God will give people things sometimes they don't even deserve. Now remember, Solomon was a very devious, a very industrious type of an individual. How this must have struck him. A man of genius, a man of brilliance, a man who loved gardens and trees. And no doubt this must have happened to him in this way, Carol, that he walked by and he saw and he knew this man. And he saw this place and this vineyard. He just tore his heart out knowing what the potential was for this vineyard to be. I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So the field and the vineyard are not his house and car necessarily, but let's look at it as his spiritual possessions. He's saved, he's forgiven, maybe even justified. Maybe he lived a sanctified life. But he begins to neglect that which God has given him. Let me tell you something, friend. Every mortal that stands before God one day will stand without excuse. Or you say, what if I ain't bride? You'll still be without excuse. You know what? If you ain't bride, you can still live a pretty good life by the help of God. There's going to be all kinds of folks that's going to come up through the tribulation period, and they're going to be pretty good people. You know why? Because they don't want to go to hell.
So basically, those of you, well, I ain't bright, I ain't going. You'll stand there before God and be thrown into the pit one day, because there'll be people that are standing there and they're not bright a bit more than that tree is bright. But they say, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I want to do the best I can. I want to live a good life. God, you've got a place in heaven for me and I want it. And you know what? They'll be there that day. There'll be millions times millions of them that'll stand there with no more than that. They're not elect. They're not chosen of God. They're not the predestinated. But they're whosoever will. And God made them an offer and they grabbed it. Oh my. Now watch this man brings barrenness because of neglect upon his soul, or this woman. Look in verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Wow. Who planted them, Brother Amos? You mean this man got out there and went to all that work and planted all them thorns? Everywhere Solomon looked was thorns. Neglect brings thorns. How? Automatically. Don't never forget this. This grows thorns easy. This grows neglect and slothfulness and sin easy. These bodies are sin. It don't need no help, friends. This is why folks struggle with Christianity. They just don't understand it. It's so much easier to live a life of a backslider. It's easier to live the life of a softful type person. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard. It's so hard. You see where they're talking from? The dirt. You get a drop of that eternal life down inside of you, your worst day as a Christian, better than your best ever living for the devil. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face, and the stone wall was broken down. So there's briars, nettles on the face, and the stone wall which separated this garden from the rest of the world. Compromise allowed things to come in. I know folks don't like walls. I know folks, that's one thing they hate us for in this message, because we preach separation. They call them prison walls. We call them palace walls and garden walls. A man in this country that was going to build a garden, he's absolutely out of his mind if he don't build a wall. Almighty God going to build a garden called a bride and not put a wall around her? No, sir, not my father. He's going to put a wall around her and he's going to put men like Nehemiah in case the wall gets broke down. I hope God will help me tonight that I'll be able to help you. As may I be a Nehemiah to you, where I can be able to stand up and say, brother, let's rebuild this wall. Let's be able to restructure this wall. Let Tobiah make fun of us. Let all the rest of them make fun of us. But we're rebuilding our prayer life. We're going to rebuild our supernatural walk with God. Why? Because God said we can have it. Why have a Jerusalem without a wall? Why have a garden without a wall? Why have a Christian experience without a wall? You'll never keep it. So Solomon walks by and he sees this beautiful, beautiful place. Maybe remember the former days in the life of this man, or maybe the life of his father. And he saw what a beautiful thing that was. Oh, it's a beautiful garden with all types of exotic fruits and plants and flowers. And that had all kinds of vines. And my, it was beautiful. So they had a watchtower in order to watch it. They had a wall around it. They had a press. They had all these things that was there. And this guy gets it. You see him uptown. You see him over here and you say, hey, shouldn't you be able to mind your own business? I don't believe in preachers. I play tapes. I don't need no preacher telling me what to do. I guess not if you're a goat. If you're a sheep, you still believe in preachers. Keep in mind, you're listening to tapes only. You can always pick what one you want to hear.
You control fast forward, rewind, and everything else. Preachers don't come with a remote. Oh, sometimes some of you wish I did. That way when I got on something you didn't like, it goes. Then whenever I said something you really liked that you wanted to throw across the church to somebody else, you'd rewind it. And then I'd say it again. And you'd say it again, Brother Donnie. Y'all just tell me back and forth, back and forth. I come with a remote, all right, but the Holy Ghost has it. So you can't tell me when to preach, what to preach, how long to preach, how short to preach, how emotional to preach. Come on, children. It ain't no wonder a bunch of these backslid message people want to listen to tapes, only they don't want no man, anointed man of God to stand right there and preach the living word of God and tell them where they're living in this day. So what is the state of this garden been brought to by what? In this case, it's not running to movies. It's not money, women, popularity. Solomon lays it on one thing, slothfulness. So a place that was so fertile, so beautiful, now the thorns are head high. The nettles have grown so much, Brother John, they're creeping over the wall. You can no longer even get in the gate, and the wall itself is so deteriorated and broken down. Animals come and go. People come and go. There's no way to protect it. The thorns, evil habits, which start in a person's life. The nettles being the things which the offenses which those things cause to others. You see, when you walk down the street, you're not only just representing yourself. You're representing us. As a church family. Oh, I know so-and-so from up in Happy Valley. Yeah, I know some of them too. But we got some saints here as well as some of them other kind. Oh, we've got enough of them other kind, more than what I like, but that's the way it is. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Oh my. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. I hope we can do likewise tonight. Let me close with this. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, this dude was a professional sleeper. I mean, they didn't just... They slept in class. That's it. Your pillow got a certain spot that you like to just kind of... They excel in slothfulness. So they fold their hands and they... Feel it coming on again. Church time. I get so sleepy at church time. You better get that devil off of you. You ever notice, isn't it amazing how many of your kids get sick on church nights? Isn't it amazing? Y'all feel great all week long till Wednesday. Everything's great till Saturday night. Everything's great till Sunday morning. It's amazing how fast miracles happen after church on Sunday morning around here. Not only here, but other churches as well. Folks are sick. They'll pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. I go through Dairy Queen 4:30 in the evening after I went home and rested a little bit, and they're out there going through the Dairy Queen, giving them a s'mores blizzard. Wow, boy, our prayers must have really went to effect. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, as moves from one place to another, and thy want as an armed man. So now you're going to be faced with a professional warrior that's armed. And he is facing a slothful individual. The little fox of slothfulness. Everybody agree with me tonight? We need to kill this dude. Just stand. Let me read you a few more scriptures, can I? And then we'll go a little different direction in the morning. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. By idleness and slothfulness, the building decays. And the building will fall through. That just makes sense. It's just logical. So spiritually, what about our walk with God, our prayer life, our time to read the Bible? And friends, let's all be honest. We're under the same bondage that I preached it to you years and years and years ago. The bondage of time. We never have enough time. I'll be 62 years old here in a few weeks. I'm at the retirement age. Apparently the Social Security Department thinks so because they sent me and Carol a thing the other day in the mail. I told her, I said, can you believe that? Who ever thought we'd ever got old enough to get this in the mail? I'm glad y'all think it's funny. But I thought when people got old, I mean, I had this in my mind as a kid, that I'd see them old people down in Kentucky sitting on the front porch. Somebody blow the horn. Hey! I always thought, what a life. Man, that's the life. And I thought it was old people, you know, 50, 60 year old people that did that. Now I'm wondering, when do people ever get better? When's it ever get any better? I used to think, man, when you get old, I mean, old preacher, you'll get to where your burdens get lighter. Duh. Mine's harder now than ever were. My difficulties, my burdens, both private and public, both family, both church, internationally, YouTubey, and every other way. You say, when does it ever lighten up? You have to be 70 or 80. Oh, God, don't tell me I got to wait that long before they leave me alone. So you know what we have to do? Whether we're 60 or 40 or 20 or 5 or 95, we set our eyes upon the prize. And we keep going, Brother Nathan. You know what they say about old preachers? They don't retire. They just put them out to pastor. P-A-S-T-O-R. May God give us strength. May God give us strength. May we shake slothfulness, idleness. And may love to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I know these types of services are sobering. They really make us look at ourselves, Father, but I pray that you would help us that it wouldn't fall on ground that is so hardened, Lord Jesus. But may it fall on fallow ground that's broke up by the plow and the disc. Oh, Jesus, may the nutrients of the soul wrap around this seed word. I don't think there's probably a person in here tonight, including myself, that wouldn't say we need to move up a little higher. Lord God, search us. Oh, most of us aren't like these slothful examples that we read of. Most or more of them would be just in that baby fox state. So some of them are just where the little fox is gnawing around, and they've laughed with me tonight as these contrasts that I've brought, and they've thought how terrible it would be to be such a thing. But if they don't change the direction in 6 months or a year, they'll be exactly where I've preached tonight. Because the elements of making them slothful is nibbling at their little vine tonight. Oh, it don't come in great bites. It doesn't come as it was years ago whenever I was bit by that fox as a boy and it laid open my hand with its teeth and my hand immediately went numb. No, it's not like that. But it's so gentle and so easy that we might not even feel it. But little by little we go to feeling the effects cooling off, and our zeal isn't as great as it was. By that time the hedge has already grown. If we're not careful, the gate out will be growing nettles and briars as well. Thank you for these things, Lord Jesus, to speak to us. I take them tonight, Lord, as a son of God. I don't believe that I'm slothful. I don't believe that I'm at all like this man or woman, these examples that I preach tonight. But let me go on to say, neither do I want to be. So Lord, I look at these examples and I do it like Solomon of old. I look and I study and I receive instruction. I receive instruction. Donnie, if you don't want to be this way, then avoid this and this and this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will. I will. Praise God. Help each of us tonight, Father. Thank you for your word. Your word makes us free. Praise God. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint their faith tonight. You said it when you were here to a natural Herod, and you called him a fox. So may we say it tonight to that devil, or that habit, or whatever more that's binding us. Go tell that fox, leave me alone. Justification saved me. Sanctification cleansed me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost birthed me into His image. The third work, I'm perfected. Go tell that fox, get out of my way. Go tell that fox, take your hand off of me. Release my blood pressure. Release this temper. Release this condition in my lungs. Release me from these migraine headaches. Go tell that fox. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I'm thinking right now, Father, that preacher buddy of mine, Lord Jesus, that his wife being in the hospital, Lord, even up to today in this heart situation, I pray for tonight, Lord, and I say to that fox, take your hand off of this daughter of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May the enforcer, which is the Holy Ghost, glory be to God, tell that fox, you are trespassing, fox. We ain't got a hen house, we got an eagle house. You better not come in here because we've got sharp claws and we'll pull your eyeballs out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go tell that fox, I'm tired of being sick. Go tell that fox, I'm tired of being bound. Go tell that fox, I'm tired of being Laodicean and dilatory. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Tell that fox, I'm going to put a firebrand between him and his brother's tail. He better get out of here unless he wants to be set on fire. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you tonight, Father. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in His presence, saints? Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe you're standing here tonight and no great thing is bound to you or hindering you tonight. That's wonderful. Thank God for it. But don't let this go in one ear and out the other. Take it as instruction. Take it for your future. Something may be trying to hit you tomorrow or Monday on the job or whatever more. Take this as instruction. Say, Lord, I believe you anointed the man of God to speak the word. I might not have needed it tonight, but I might need it tomorrow. I receive it as from you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, I'm not only going fox hunting for the foxes I know's there, but I'm going to stay on guard for them little outfits that try to creep in. Lord, they may try to creep in tomorrow, next week, or the week after that, but I'm going to be ready for them, Lord. I've got my Old Testament and my New Testament loaded up, and I'm standing ready. Praise be to God. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I've got my eyes on the prize. There ain't no fox coming around this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I believe I'll go fox hunting tonight. Well, I believe I'll go fox hunting tonight. I've got my gun in my hand. Got the Holy Ghost, let me stand. I believe I'll go fox hunting tonight. I believe I'll go fox hunting tonight. Tonight. Oh, I'm anointed to slay giants tonight. With my sling in my hand, with the Bible as a stand, I believe I'll go fox hunting tonight. Oh, shoo, fox, shoo, shoo tonight. I'm gonna shake that slothfulness away from me. I'm gonna shake that slothfulness away from me. I wanna be stirred in God's power. Wanna live for this hour. I believe I'll just shake that away from me. Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say it. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, I believe it. Amen, I'm going to receive it. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But Brother Donnie, what if it don't work? It'll work. I said it'll work. It won't be like it was when the Macedonians had met the Greeks one time. It was a great showdown battle.
They lost thousands of men on both sides, and they gathered together in the mountains, and they been sent in for fresh supplies. They brought the supplies in, which they thought was the things they would need to be able to fight. When they come in with the barrels and they took the barrels off, which they thought was fresh armament to be able to meet their enemy, they found out it was flour and meal and things to eat. But my Jesus don't send meal when you need a sword. He don't send a fish whenever you need to slay a devil. Don't worry, your supply line is right on time. You believe what you want about the word when men of God, anointed men of God preach. I believe you've got a supply line straight from heaven. I believe you've got a train that comes through here 3 times a week when we have church. Whether it's me or other men of God that come through here, it's a supply line straight from heaven to be able to meet the needs you have. You may not even know what you need tonight. You may think, well, I need this or that. If the Holy Ghost didn't send you exactly that, apparently He knows when you don't. So if He sends you a barrel load of pickles, you know what? You might need a barrel load of pickles. If He sends you a barrel load of cantaloupes, just keep in mind God's fixing to win this. Without using bullets, you're going to beat them to death with cantaloupes. Whatever God sends, it is right on time, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. Sing it for us. Let's just sing a little bit, shall we, before we go? How many wants to worship the Lord a little bit? Amen. Amen. Let's let the devil know where we stand tonight. Praise God. We're happy fox hunters. We're not just sitting around all gloomy and sad. Let's sing it together, Harry, with all of our hearts. Let's sing it.
Well, praise God. I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
Come on, sing, just sing it.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
Yes, Lord.
The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I was traveling along the back roads, headed in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Separates the darkness from the light. Was headed in the wrong direction. My sin dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and the light. But Jesus gave me a light to shine when He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time. Darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. time. I was traveling along the back roads, headed in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. And I'm glad I crossed over in time. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Tonight I'm so glad I crossed over the line. That line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. I know these are simple illustrations. And they're not great theological terms and wouldn't be classified as deep and so on and so on. Yet I think we all can relate to it. I think we all can be witnesses of truth to know that these things work on our lives. It's one thing we so love about the prophet that you sent us in this day, Lord. He would be honest enough to tell us he'd get discouraged and he'd get down and he'd fight this and go through that. He'd give us an insight into the life of a great servant of God. But yet he was not so great that he was superhuman or beyond human test. Not only him, Lord Jesus, but when you come to the earth, you experience such things. I read today when your prophet said that when they come to you that day and said, show us a sign. And said you responded, you was discouraged when you said it. A wicked and evil adulterous generation seeks after the sign and no sign will be given but Jonas the prophet. And I read that, I thought, my goodness. You allowed yourself to feel discouragement. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. If you had experienced sickness and you would have experienced sexual temptation and all kinds of other things and would have left discouragement out, then when we got discouraged with whatever of life, we would have went to you. You couldn't have understood. But you allowed yourself to feel discouragement. Thank you for that. It shows your love to us. So when I come to you discouraged, Brother Wes, these sisters, these young people, these brothers, no matter who they are, whatever has brought on their discouragement, you can relate to our feeling. Thank you so much for loving us in such a way that as being God, you could never understand such. Being God, you could never even feel such. But becoming man, you sat outside the city and held your head and groaned with a headache. You were tempted by women, tempted by drinking, bothered by discouragement. Thank you, my bridegroom. That is part of us looking at you and the flights of stairs. For we know stairs work both ways. As Jacob of old was laying there and made a stone his pillow, and he looked and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. He saw the ladder anchored up in heaven, anchored down on the earth. And he saw the angels coming and going on that ladder. And the prophet tells us that ladder was Jesus Christ. So you ascended and descended, you condescend when you come down, not just from the angelic realm, but to become a man, to feel sick, to feel troubled, to feel discouraged and despondent at times. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when that little fox comes around trying to discourage us and tell us we can't make it, we can go to you with that sad, lonely feeling and know that you understand, that you'll not rebuke us, you'll not chastise us, but you can look at us with understanding in your eyes and say, I know how you feel. Thank you, Father. Go with us now, pray, Lord, bring us back in the morning if it be pleasing to you. Would you speak to us again, Lord? You've been so kind to us. We hate to keep asking you, but you told us to ask much, that our joy might be full. If we tarry another 100 years, if time would go on another 1,000, there'll be people still asking, and you'll still be granting and still hearing. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for coming by and speaking to us, visiting us, Lord Jesus. We don't want to just eat at your table and not say we thank you, but we thank you for the food we've received tonight. We thank you for the correction, the encouragement. I thank you for the whipping, the chastising, whatever you sent us. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Father. Go with us now, Lord God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. You love him?
Yes.
Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Say, God bless you, brother, sister. Good to see you in the house of God.
I stand in awe within the presence of
yes, Lord.
The Lord.
Amen.
In whom the wisdom of the ages lies.
Yes, Lord.
For whom the raging of the sea subsides. The living sacrifice, my only source of life, my hope.
How many can say amen to that?
Is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
His tender mercies come with every rising sun.
Thank you, Lord.
To meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find our hearts. My hope is in the Lord. with every rising sun, to meet the sinner and his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find our hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. Oh, my hope is in the Lord from this time on. Is in the Lord from this time on.